Good morning. This is what Holy Scripture says. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers, through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. In turn, I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. This is the word of the Lord.
Our loving Heavenly Father, as we have sung these songs, I pray for the hearts that have been here to mouth those words. Father, forgive us for our times of hypocrisy. Forgive us for our times of insincerity, where we have said things to you that we don't really mean. But now we come to that moment when your word is going to speak to us. We pray your Holy Spirit would use it powerfully in our lives. The privilege is totally ours, Father, to look upon your work and just marvel in your magnificent grace. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 25 this morning. Grace grafted in, standing strong in God's plan. You ever seen a gardener graft a branch into a tree? It's really delicate work. The tree is cut open and sometimes cut quite deeply. And into that wound in the tree, the gardener inserts a tender branch, and then he binds it up carefully and waters it faithfully. And over a course of time, that foreign shoot begins to draw life from the very tree to which it was foreign. That's the image that the Apostle Paul draws for us here in Romans chapter 11. Israel, God's chosen people, have stumbled and stumbled horribly in responding to the message of God's covenantal faithfulness to them. They've stumbled in unbelief, and it's a sad and tragic story, but their fall didn't finish God's plan. It fueled God's plan. Their rejection, in a way that only God could picture, in a way that only God could accomplish, their rejection opened the door for the rest of the world to be a part of this wonderful thing called salvation. And so you and I, Gentile believers, have been grafted into that tree of promise. Here's the big picture for us this morning. We, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you join with us. We stand secure in grace, not because we deserve it, but because God delights to graft the undeserving into his plan of mercy. And Paul's message about this and our reaction, our best reaction to it, is really simple and sobering. Don't grow proud. Grow grateful. Turn with me to your text, verses 11 through 15. We are going to see here the purpose of Israel's fall, which is salvation for the nations. Paul opens with a question, verse 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? In other words, did Israel's rejection just really mess up God's plan? And now he's wringing his hands, wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I thought maybe I would choose Israel, I would choose Abraham, and I would bring up through the patriarchs, and I would create this wonderful, glorious nation that was designed to magnify me and be in a covenantal relationship with me. And here they have stumbled through unbelief. What am I going to do? Did everything come crashing down when Israel rejected the Messiah? And again, Paul responds with that powerful negative that we have seen several times in the book of Romans. By no means. Their stumble wasn't final, but it was instrumental, because God used their rejection, as I've already said, to reach the nations. Are you grateful today, believers, that God can take our failures and use them to make things better? Have you seen that in your life? And are you here today saying, man, that has happened to me, and I have seen it over and over in my life? Verses 11 and 12 tells us about a surprising reversal. Rather, he says, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Israel's unbelief literally pushed the gospel beyond the borders of the land of Israel. What looked like a setback became a set up for world salvation, for the gospel message to be spread to people who were not Jewish. And the Jews never really liked that idea. They thought that they were God's chosen people. They were the only ones who could be the recipient of this covenantal relationship. Their loss was gain to the Gentiles. Their rejection brought about reconciliation to the world. In verses 13 through 15, tell us of a stirring reaction. Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Paul says, I magnify my ministry. I'm making something big of what I'm doing. Paul has been given the designation of the apostle to Gentiles. He was the one who was instrumental in going to all of these lands far away to spread the gospel. He says, I'm magnifying my ministry not to make something big of myself. I'm not here to say, oh, look what everything I have accomplished here. No, he's doing this in order to somehow make my fellow Jews, because Paul was Jewish, make my fellow Jews jealous. He longed for Israel to look at what the Gentiles now had available to them and say, man, I don't know what it is that they've got, but I want something like that. I don't know how we missed it. I don't know what happened here, but whatever God is doing to Gentiles, that's what I want happen to me. Did you know? Did you know today, believer, that your lifestyle is supposed to do that today with unbelievers? You're supposed to be living your life in such a way that the world wants what you've got. And they see it in good times, and they see it particularly strong in the bad times. Verse 15, if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If you take the time to study God's word, you realize once you've understood the big picture here and dug into it, that numerous passages from the Bible, I'm talking in the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and here in Romans, even in Zechariah, all these books predict a time when all Israel will be saved. Jesus is going to come back and be seated on that throne, and all of a sudden the nation of Israel is going to be the center of the world, and they are going to be the favored people, and there's going to be this mass revival. When Israel turns back to God, it's going to spark a worldwide revival. So if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead. Whole lot of spiritual life is going to happen when that happens. Here's our life lesson. Our life response for today. Number one, rejoice in God's redeeming purpose. Praise God, folks, that there is a God that is seated on the throne of heaven who can turn rejection into redemption. Many of you have stumbled. Maybe somebody's failure has wounded you deeply. That's when God loves to step up with grace. There's a second part to this as well, though. We got to make sure we keep this in mind. Don't waste God's grace. In those times when you stumble, because we all do, I'm the pastor, I stumble here as well. In those times when I stumble and I fall face first into the glorious grace of God as He works through my life and I learn and I get restored back into this wonderful fellowship with God. In those times, that's grace being given to me. We must not waste God's grace. And we have a responsibility then to let other people know what God's done. Be faithful in telling that. He can take the ashes of your disappointment and create beauty again. Becky and I saw this firsthand. I don't know how many of you know this. Many of you have been here for a while. You know this. Back when we lived in the great state of Ohio, our house burned down. January 15th, a huge winter storm blowing through, sucked a lot of heat up of our wood stove chimney, unknown to us. Up in the attic where we couldn't see it, the chimney had gone down to just a single wall, lit a 2x4 on fire, and we lost our house. We stood outside our house and watched as it burned. And we were devastated. Man, I remember thinking, that's it. We're done. And then God came through. And insurance. But God used insurance to come through. And when we moved from Ohio here, we left a beautiful, beautiful home, a far better home than we had. That's what God does. He takes the ashes of our disappointment and creates that kind of beauty. Going on to verses 16 through 24, we have the picture of the olive tree standing in grace. Paul moves here from explanation to illustration. He pictures God's people, the nation of Israel, the people whom he selected from the line of Abraham and from whom he created this massive nation that was eventually enslaved down in Egypt and that for whom he redeemed and he brought them back into the promised land that flowed with milk and honey. He pictures the nation as this massive olive tree rooted in the promises that God gave to Abraham. Verse 16 says, if the root is holy, so are the branches. Verses 16 and 17 tell us of a root that nourishes. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive root, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. The root here is God's covenantal grace. That's what you and I as Gentiles have been grafted into. And every bit of spiritual life that you and I have flows from what God promised centuries ago. And if all of that is true, look then at verse 18. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. Can I be honest? There are times I read the Old Testament and I read what the people of Israel did. And I say to myself, man, those people were stupid. I can't do that. Because I know just my own propensity in my own life to be the same way today with God when He does things with me. So do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. We are not the foundation of God's work. He is. We are nourished by a grace that existed long before we were born. Picture an old tree. It's been in the family's backyard for years. It's at its base are these deep, gnarled roots that have sunk deeply into the yard. One root of faith, another root of promise, another root of mercy. And then along comes a gardener, this is God, who grafts in some wild olive shoots. That's us Gentiles. We must always remember that we begin to draw life from roots we didn't plant and a covenant we didn't earn. We draw life because of what God has done to us, not because what we have done for ourselves in and of ourselves. And believe it or not, there's a real sense of danger here for us. And so Paul says, secondly, there's the danger of arrogance. Look at verses 18 through 20 to 21. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. See, pride whispers at us. Look at us. We're the choice ones now. Look at all the things God's doing through us as Gentiles. The Jews could have never done this. That's pride. He goes on, he says, then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. You know, that he sacrificed, though I was more important. And that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. God doesn't tolerate a spirit where you think you are something you're not. The same God who pruned Israel for unbelief can come back into a Gentile church as well and do some pruning of his own whenever he senses pride. The moment we think we stand on our own, we are hacking away at the very root that nourishes us and gives us life. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. The great news is that there is a display of grace. Look at verses 22 through 24. Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen. But kindness, God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them back in again. If you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivative olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Did you catch that? Note then the kindness and severity of God. Kindness toward those of us who have been grafted in. Oh, don't ever lose your appreciation that God did something you could never do for yourself. And severity toward unbelief, even if the broken branches like Israel that can be grafted back in, which God's word says he will, God's mercy always leaves the door open. So here's a life response number two for us this morning. Beware of spiritual pride. Grace ought to make us humble, not haughty. The proud branch forgets that he draws life from the root. As he hangs out on the olive tree, he says, look at me. I'm all laden down with all of these olives. Man, I must really be something special. That's the proud branch. The humble root branch clings tighter to the humble branch clings tighter to the root. He says, look at me, all weighted down with the fruit I'm producing. This is one of those Jesus take the wheel moments, right? Man, this is not because of me. I'm not doing this because of the kind of branch I am. I'm doing this because I'm connected to the root. And that makes all the difference in the world. Folks, we have to remember when pride creeps in, when we compare ourselves to other churches, when we judge others' faith or forget our own need for mercy, we're sawing off the very branch we sit upon. And you've seen that in Bugs Bunny cartoons, and I want to assure you, when that happens, the tree never falls. It's always the branch, okay? Because we've seen those cartoons where he saws it, and all of a sudden the tree goes down, the branch hangs in the middle. That doesn't happen. Remember, we stand by grace alone. And we must always appreciate the fact that we only grow, we only thrive, we only survive to the extent that we cooperate with the painful cutting of the gardener as he grafts us into the olive tree. We conclude here with the promise of future mercy, the mystery of God's plan. And we're gonna look at this in more depth next week. But Paul closes with this mystery. Lest, speaking of spiritual pride, don't have spiritual pride, lest you be wise in your own sight. He talks further on about a partial hardening that has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And we're going to get into that a little bit more next week. But notice he mentions here a partial hardening. Not total, not permanent. Some Jews believe today. Praise God. And let's keep praying that more will believe tomorrow. God hasn't abandoned his people. Salvation is available to the Jews today, praise God. And there's coming a day when the whole nation is going to turn back and say, man, our forefathers, they missed it. This was we had the Messiah here the whole time. There's a future faithfulness. When the last Gentile has believed, and nobody knows who that is, the story's going to turn again. And Israel is going to awaken, and the grafting will come full circle as God now makes another gash. These are olive tree models here, by the way, not real ones. God makes a gash in the olive tree and takes those branches he had cut off before and sticks them back in, and they start to thrive once again. And that leads us to a profound mystery. We can't trace every detail, but I know this. We can trust the gardener. We can trust the designer. God's timing is perfect. His plan is precise. His mercy is majestic. So our life response number three is this. Trust God's unfolding plan. You may find yourself, you may be here today, and if you, as you evaluate your life spiritually, you may say, you know what, I think I might be in a time of partial hardening. God sure seems silent to my prayers. They've gone unanswered for so long. And in those times, it seems like it takes every bit of effort that we have just to open the Word of God or just to pray. I'm telling you this morning, don't lose heart. Somebody far wiser than me said, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart, what he's doing. The same sovereign God who's guiding history is guiding your story too. And the great news is that his delays are not his denials. It is grace that holds us. Let's go back to that olive tree. Some branches were broken, others were grafted in. All the branches draw from the same root of Jesus Christ himself. We as Gentiles were out here in the wild, growing in the wilderness of sin, and yet God in his grace reached down and grafted us into his family. And now somehow, some way, spiritual life flows through each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. So church, don't boast, bow. Church, don't presume, praise. Church, don't look down, look up. Because God's still there, and he's still doing miraculous things. Because we are grace grafted in, standing strong only because of his mercy. Let me give you three final life challenges. Number one, celebrate God's mercy in your story. You're not here by merit, but by mercy. So one of the greatest things you can do as a believer in Jesus Christ is tell somebody else how God grafted you in when you didn't deserve it. Folks, we must be bold. We've got to be sure we are faithful and not just saying, oh boy, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. And we should be saying those things, but not just say, I guess I'm okay. No. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Praise God that I am grafted in. But there are other wild branches out there that God may still want to graft in. And you may be the very person that God wants to tell somebody of how you were saved. So be faithful in doing so. Number two, cultivate humility in your walk. Replace pride with praise. Replace comparison with compassion. And it's we're so prone to compare, aren't we? Oh, you know I'm bad, but boy, I know that guy. He's worried. And we console ourselves that we're okay. No, replace comparison with compassion. And thirdly, cooperate with God's global plan. Can I tell you something the scripture tells us to do? Pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for those who have been cut off at least temporarily. Share the gospel. The very branch upon which you sit may be your own. And you can use that privilege, the wonderful, joyful privilege of being grafted in to the family of God for purposes far beyond your own satisfaction and your own peace. There's a dying world out there. They need to hear of the only way they can be saved. Let's pray. Father, we lift before you our lives. We recognize as believers here this morning that we are not here because of anything of us. We are here solely because of your grace, solely because of your mercy, solely because you sovereignly chose us to be partakers of the wonderful covenant of grace in which we now reside. Let us never lose our awe or appreciation for that, Father. Let us never grow cold to the wonder of salvation. But never let us grow satisfied that the work's over, because we have been saved to tell. We have been saved to proclaim. And teach us, Father, the wonderful truth of John 15. Where our Jesus spoke about what abiding in him truly means. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Opening the Bible, and I am Bob, one of the elders here at the Open Bible Church. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. And while you are there, hit the like button and maybe even a comment. Opening the Bible is a podcast from the Open Bible Church, Chesterton, Indiana.